Welcome to the podcast of Hope Community Church. Hope exists to be a church where people can experience the transformative power of the gospel in the context of grace-centered community. We strive to be real people looking to the real Jesus for real change that can have redemptive impact among individuals, local communities, our city, and the world. For more information, visit hopecommunity.com.
Hearing and listening are not the same thing. They're close, they're related, hearing and listening, but they're not the same thing. To hear is to receive the sounds. It's to receive the noises, the inputs around you. But to listen is to take those sounds, those inputs, and put them together to assign a meaning and to develop a response to them. Hearing is passive. Listening is active. Hearing is what happens when you're there physically. Listening is what happens when you're there personally as well. And often they do happen together at the same time. You hear something and you listen to it, but often they don't. It's possible, even easy, to hear something and not listen to it. And so think about it, just a few examples. You meet someone and you hear them say their name, but you walk away and realize, I didn't listen, so I have no idea what their name is, they just told me. You listen to a song for years, hearing the music, hearing the lyrics, but you're not really listening. And then years later, one day, you hear it and you listen and you're like, oh, that's what that song was saying that I used to listen to all the time. Kind of disturbed by that. You sit in class, checked out, and the teacher calls on you. You've been there the whole time, and you've technically heard the teacher's voice, but you have no idea what he or she was saying because you weren't listening. Scarring moments for some of us. Or more consequentially, someone in your life tries to tell you something important, a truth they so desperately want you to hear. I love you. I believe in you. You are strong, beautiful, good. Or on the other side, hey, I think you have a problem. You need to change. Important, life-altering truth, but you hear it and you don't listen, so it doesn't get through to you and nothing happens. Well, the problem of hearing and not listening is what Jesus is dealing with in our story today. Because if we zoom out to the flow of Matthew's gospel so far, Jesus the King has come. He's been teaching the truths about his kingdom and what it's like. He's been demonstrating the power of the kingdom through all kinds of miraculous things he's done. But people are responding in very different ways. Some people are all in, other people write him off and reject him. Many people are somewhere in between. And here in Matthew chapter 13, this whole chapter, Jesus takes a step back to talk about it. He takes a step back to talk about why. Why is this happening? If he's the great king and his kingdom is so good, why are people responding the way they are? Why isn't everyone all in? Why are some people out? Why are some people halfway out and halfway in? And all the stories he tells in chapter 13, stories called parables, seek to answer that question in some way. But the first story he tells, the story we're looking at today, is the main answer Jesus gives. It's the preeminent parable. It's the parable of parables, you could say, to help us get what's going on. And the point Jesus makes in it is, it's about hearing and listening. It's about hearing and listening and receiving the word, a message, the seed. That's the key, Jesus says, to being a fruitful person, to living a fruitful life. He says in verse 9, he who has ears, let him hear. I like the way Eugene Peterson paraphrases that in the message. He says, are you listening to this? Really listening? It's as simple as it is profound. And I mean, I know what that's what I want. And I think that's what a lot of you want. I want to be fruitful. I want to live a fruitful life as Jesus defines it. And we tend to make it pretty complicated, but it's really not. If we get down to what Jesus is saying here in this story and we pay attention, And so today, this is an invitation to self-examination. And self-examination, not examination of the person sitting beside you or the person across the room, that's easy to do here, but self-examination. Asking myself, asking yourself the question, how is my hearing? Am I listening to this? Really listening? And there are three things we need to do to guide us into that here as we unpack Jesus' words in this story. Number one, we need to clearly identify the seed. Number two, we need to honestly evaluate the soil. And then number three, we need to humbly trust the sower. And let's walk through each one. So first of all, we need to clearly identify the seed. What is the seed in the story? I said it was the word. I said it was a message. But let's get more specific than that. What is it? Well, when Jesus begins to explain the parable to his disciples, he tells them in verses 18 and 19 when he says, "Hear then the parable of the sower, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom." So the seed is the word of the kingdom, but that still feels vague. So let's try to keep going and make it more practical. What does that mean? It means the word of God. It means the Bible, the words of God we have in this book, this amazing book God's given you and me. Old and New Testaments, 66 books, so we can know him and know what he's like and know what it means to know him and live in a relationship with him. So the Bible. But again, there's lots of words in the Bible, so we can actually keep drilling down even more because all the words in the Bible are really about one big word. We did this in our call to worship, but John, the Apostle John, starts his gospel this way, talking about Jesus, and he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." The Word of God, the Word of God, is Jesus. He is the revelation of God in a person. He is the Word. All the words in the Bible are about Jesus is the Word. But we can take it even one level deeper than that, because in another place in John's gospel, Jesus actually calls himself the seed. John chapter 12, verse 24, as he's talking to a few of his disciples, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." And the idea here is, how does the seed work? And I'm not a big gardener. I don't claim to be a botanist. But the seed has to go down into the ground. The seed has to be buried. It has to die. And the point is, the seed is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. And this is the way he came to establish his kingdom as the Word, by becoming like a seed, being planted in the ground to die for you and me. That's the message. That's the Word, the seed. And that's so important, because part of what can get you off track in terms of being fruitful and in terms of hearing and listening is that you don't even understand what the seed is, because you think the seed is about what you do. You think the seed is a word of instruction or a word of morality you need to hear and listen to and take seriously from Jesus, that it's rules and principles about how to become a better version of yourself. And the Bible, the Word, does have instructions and rules and principles for living that can help you grow and become a better version of yourself, but only in the right context. Only when the seed of Jesus, the seed of the gospel, has first been planted in your life. As Jesus explains through the imagery he uses, the kingdom doesn't come like other kingdoms come. The kingdom of God doesn't come through force. The kingdom of God doesn't come through conquest. The kingdom of God doesn't come through overwhelming physical power. It doesn't come through our own works, but the kingdom of God is birthed and it grows through the seed of Jesus, through the gospel. And so first we need to clearly identify the seed. And maybe for some of us today, we realize I'm not hearing and listening well. And fruit's not coming into my life because I've never gotten that point. Maybe I've never even heard that. Maybe I've been confused and have thought Christianity is about what I need to do and not about what God's done for me. I've thought it is about me doing my best to be like Jesus, not about me being rescued by Jesus. But this is it. This is how it works. He is the seed. It all starts with him and the good news of what he's done. That's what we have to hear and listen to. That's what we have to receive the way the ground receives a seed. And so first, in our self-examination, is this the word I'm hearing? Do I see, do I get this? What the seed is? It's Jesus, it's the gospel. We have to start there if we're going to hear and listen. We have to know what it is we even need to be hearing and listening to. But now second, we need to honestly evaluate the soil. Because the seed is a beautiful thing. The message about Jesus being the seed who comes to die so that we can live, that's incredible. Right? It's wonderful. Who wouldn't want that? Why would we possibly not hear that and listen to it? Well, that's what Jesus really brings us into with the parable as he talks about the soils. Four different soils that respond to the seed in four different ways. And other than the last soil, what he calls the good soil in verse 8, all the other soils fail to receive the seed and bear fruit. So Jesus gives you and me three categories, three conditions our hearts can get into that keep us from hearing this message of the gospel and receiving it, listening to it and letting it make us into people who do bear much fruit. And we'll come back to the good soil, but let's walk through these first three soils. And again, in the spirit of self-examination, asking, wondering, where do I see this in me? How do I see this show up in my life? Okay, so what's the first one that he tells us about? Well, starting in verse 3, it says, Jesus told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and birds came and devoured them. And then as Jesus explains the meaning of the parable, in verse 19, he says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. So the first kind of soil is really not even a soil. It's a hard path. Think of a walking path that's been beaten and packed down through constant foot traffic. It's not soft. It's hard to break into. And we could call this condition hardness of heart. It's a stubbornness, a refusal to receive the seed at all. Like I hear it, but I'm not even going to open myself up to receive it at all. And Jesus says, this is the one the devil takes away. But to think about it from our point of view, what happens? What does the devil use so that the seed can never break through and take root? Well, we talked about this a good bit last week, but I think one of the greatest tools he uses is our pride. Our sense of, I don't need this. Because the seed message, the message of Jesus in the gospel is super offensive to your pride. If you understand it, it's beautiful, but it's offensive to your sense of pride and self-sufficiency because before the beauty that Jesus did die for you, it starts with the offense that Jesus had to die for you. It says you're actually not strong enough to be who you need to be on your own, and so he had to die, and you know that hurts our pride because all of us, deep down, we want to be able to do it ourselves. And I was thinking about how I see this in me, and I thought of kind of a funny example, something I've done from time to time. So we've got this little bench press in the shed in our backyard. We've got a few weights back there in the shed, including this bench press, and from time to time I'll go back there and use them when I can't find time to get in the gym that day. And the conventional wisdom is never bench press by yourself, right? Never do it by yourself because if you get tired at the bottom when it's down here on your chest, you're stuck and there's nothing you can do. It actually can be really dangerous. And so typically when I do this, I go light. I don't really get anywhere close to failure. However, there have been times when I've done that. When I've been feeling good and like, nah, I think I got it today. You know, I'm feeling pretty strong. I can push it. And there have been multiple times, I'm embarrassed to admit, this has happened to me more than once, when the bar's gotten stuck on me, and I've had to do the thing where you roll it slowly over your entire body, which if you've ever done that, you know, is incredibly painful. But I was thinking about that. I'm like, that's my heart. That's a picture of my heart. I don't think I need help. I don't want to need help. I do think I'm mostly going to be okay and can figure it out. That's hardness of heart. And for some of us, the reason we do not listen when we hear the gospel is because we're simply stubborn. Even if we're not where we want to be in life, even if we're not who we want to be, there's a hardness, there's a walking path, packed ground on the exterior of our heart, and so the seed can't come through. But all of us have hardness of heart in some part of our lives. And so is there truth you're hearing but not listening to today? Maybe it's because of a plain old stubbornness and hardness in your heart. Jesus says that's soil number one. Now soil number two, this is what we could call shallowness of heart. Verse 5, Jesus says, other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. He explains it in verse 20. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. So what's the problem here? Here the soil isn't so hard the seed can't get in at all. It does get in. It begins to grow. There's life. There's vitality. But there's no depth. The roots only go so deep. So when the sun comes up, it scorches the plant and it dies. The problem is depth. Roots. Roots that can sustain and move you past the initial joy of the word when life happens. When tribulations come. When persecution comes, when grief happens, when loss happens, when suffering happens. And I try to talk about this every time it comes up because it's just so important, especially for American Christians like us who have such a small category for it. And I know it's so important for me to be reminded of it, but that's what Jesus promises when we follow him. When we receive the gospel and come into relationship with him, he promises tribulations and persecution and loss and grief and suffering will come. He promises joy in the middle of it. He promises joy that can transcend all of it, but he tells us this is what will happen when you follow me. When you follow him as king and submit your life to his word, your life often gets harder. Better, but harder. Not easier, because now you can't hold on to your grudges anymore. Now you can't just do whatever you want and go along with the crowd. When Jesus comes into your life, now the way you live and think and act is going to be different. And so that's going to bring some difficulty into your life. And the Bible also says when you come into relationship with Jesus, suffering is actually a grace God uses to change you and to form you into the person he's made you to be. And so you need roots. You need depth. In the soil of your life, the rocks have to go. And so the question is, how deep are my roots? How deep are my roots? Am I still trying to live my Christian life off the emotional high I had in college? Am I still trying to live my Christian life off what I felt when I went to that conference that one time? Is that still what I'm looking for? Is that still what I think I need, or am I doing the hard and slow and often boring work of putting down roots? And maybe I'm hearing and not listening because I don't have them. And then the last soil, verse 7, Jesus says, other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. He explains, verse 22, as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. So there's hardness of heart, there's shallowness of heart. We could call this one a dividedness of heart. It's a divided heart, a cluttered heart, a heart where there's competition with Jesus and his kingdom. And what we're talking about here are idols. Idols meaning things we worship alongside Jesus. And the scary thing about this one that's different from the first two is that in the third soil, do you notice the plant doesn't die? The other two, it dies. Well, the first one, it never comes up at all. But the second one, it sprouts up, but then eventually it dies. This one doesn't die. It keeps going, but here's the issue. It never bears fruit. And so the challenge here is for people who stay around the seed and keep the seed in their life, and the plant grows, but it never produces fruit. And why? Because there are thorns growing up along with it. Weeds growing up along with it, choking it out, taking up the nutrients. Those are the idols, the things that take your focus away from Jesus, the things that take your focus away from the gospel and your attention from the glory and goodness of the Lord. And Jesus here lists the categories of the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. And so if persecution was the problem before in the second soil, here what's the problem? Prosperity. Like the rich young ruler who walked away from Jesus because he couldn't let go of his stuff. And that's what thorns can do for you and me. Any kind of thorn, not just money, though that is a big one we need to think about. But what are my idols? What are my thorns? What's competing with the soil in my heart with Jesus? With all these, we need to be honest. Because yes, as you examine yourself, you might see yourself in one of the three categories more than the others, but if we can be really honest with ourselves, we can see all these kinds of soil here. The same way one plot of land, you can have all kinds of different soils there. The same thing is true to one degree or another in your heart and in mine. And so the question is, what do we do? What do you do now that you've done the work of self-examination? How do I move forward so we can become good soil, so we can become people who do hear and listen and bear fruit as the seed comes into our life? Well, finally, our last point, we need to humbly trust the sower. We need to humbly trust the sower because it's the sower's job to work the ground. And I've seen firsthand recently the kind of work a good gardener can do. Sarah and I, we met a gardener through a parent. He's a parent at May School. We met him last year and got to talking to him about what he does, and it was really interesting. And we started talking to him about maybe what he could do at our house, because in front of our house, since we've moved in a few years ago, we've kind of just had these simple bushes planted that I would sort of trim and kind of take care of. But we always sort of wanted something more. And so we met this guy, we got to talking to him about it. And he eventually came in and he designed and created this garden area in the front of our house that we love. And for the past year since he created it, our gardener friend, he comes back once a quarter to work it. And so in between his visits, we'll try to work it and keep it growing well the best we can. But he'll come back and he'll work his gardening magic. And he'll get down in the dirt on his hands and knees, and he'll do all this kind of stuff. I don't even know what he's doing. But when he leaves, we're like, man, that looks so good. What did he do? Right, it's the gardener's job to work the ground. And who is the gardener in the parable? Who is the sower? We've talked about the seed. We've talked about the soils. Who is the sower? Well, on the one hand, the sower is anyone who shares the gospel, anyone who spreads the seed of Jesus and the word of the kingdom. But the deepest meaning of who the sower is the Lord himself. And there's a lot of gardener imagery for God in the Bible, if you look for it. In the beginning, in the first creation, what does God do? God plants a garden, the Garden of Eden. And then in the beginning of the new creation, there's garden imagery too. Do you remember when Jesus is risen from the dead? And Mary Magdalene is the first person who sees Jesus. Do you remember who she thinks Jesus is? She thinks he's the gardener. And maybe that's just a coincidence, but probably not. Coincidences don't really happen with Jesus. He's the gardener. And it's his job to work the ground of your life. You and me, we can't make ourselves into good soil. Jesus has to do it. He has to get into the soil and break it up so it's soft enough for the seed. He has to dig down and take out the rocks so the roots can grow deep. He has to rip up the thorns and the weeds so they won't choke the seed and so that we can bear fruit. It's the gardener's job. It's not your job to make yourself good soil. It's not my job. We can participate with him as he works within us by his Spirit, but it's his job. It's his job to make us good soil. It's his job to make us people who hear and listen to the word, then what's our job? Our job is to humbly trust him. Like Sarah and I trust our gardener friend to come work on our garden, you and I have to trust Jesus to come and work on the garden of our heart. And that's good news, isn't it? And especially if you're not feeling so great about the soil of your heart this morning. I mean, I see all these in me. I see stubbornness. I see ways my heart can be really hard. I see ways that my roots don't go very deep. I don't want Jesus to bring me, I want him to take me out of suffering and hard things. It's hard for me to trust him in it. I see thorns and weeds and things that distract me from him. And it's overwhelming and it's utterly discouraging if it's on me to fix all that. But the good news of the gospel is that it's not on me, it's on him. It's on the gardener. This is actually what Jesus is doing with this parable. He wants you and me to see we're not the good soil. You're not the good soil. I'm not the good soil, at least not the way we think about it. Because you see, being good soil is not being a perfect person. Being good soil doesn't mean you never struggle with any of the other conditions, but being good soil means you know that you do. It means you know how much you do. And most of all, what it means to be good soil is simply to be open. It means to be soft and open and receptive to Jesus and his message about the kingdom. And what is that message? The important message that though you're not and never will be good soil on your own. So on the one hand, hey, you have a problem. You need to change. On the other hand, the message that I can make you into the kind of soil that bears fruit for my grace, I love you. And I can make you strong and beautiful and good through my love. That's what it means to hear and to listen. To get that important truth, to hear that wonderful word from God that he so desperately wants you to hear today. That's what it means to be good soil. He who has ears, let him hear, Jesus says. So the question today is, are you listening? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the gospel and this chance today to think about our hearts and most of all to think about you and to think about the ways that you are at work in the soil of our souls, making us ready to be the men and women you've created us to be, to bear the fruit for you you've created us to bear. And so would you give us ears to hear? Would you help us to hear and listen and receive the good news of who you are? In your name, Jesus, amen.